Hey, feeling unsure about your finances these days? You're not alone. That's why Noble Gold Investments is here to help. Just hear it straight from the people who they've helped. The Noble crew walked me through everything with no stress. With their help, I could finally sleep easy at night. And now this month, Noble Gold Investments is handing out a free 5-ounce silver America the Beautiful coin if you qualify for an IRA. Invest in gold and silver with Noble Gold Investments. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com right now. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com right now. Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, Jason Whitlock. We talk about BLM, Palestine, Martin Luther King, and more in a unscripted, very fun conversation. Become a member and listen to all of our episodes, advertiser-free. We're also building a community insider access, charliekirk.com, and become an exclusive member now. That's charliekirk.com and become an exclusive member. An insider. It's affordable for all income levels. Check it out. And if our show has blessed you in any way, please consider becoming a member. Get involved with the nation's most important organization, Turning Point USA. That is tpusa.com, tpusa.com. Start a high school or college chapter today at tpusa.com. Turning Point USA is on the front lines, starting high school or college chapters at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campuses.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. Joining us now is one of my favorite guests, one of the most important voices in the movement, Jason Whitlock, Blaze host of Fearless. Jason, thank you for joining us. We'll talk later in the show maybe about how you're trying to take Super Bowl Sunday away from me. I don't know if that's public or not, but I'll blame you for that. But I'm on board because the cause comes above my comfort. But Jason, I want to start with BLM. What on earth does BLM have in common with the Palestinian movement, Students for Justice of Palestine? I mean, you see BLM, they post this picture, Black Lives Matter Global Network of Chicago, praising the paragliders. Where did this come from? How should we think about this?
It's great question, great topic. It's what I'm going to be going into in detail on my show today. And there's what I'm calling the racism bundle. And the entire leftist agenda is based on this argument about racism. And so they get people to buy into the narrative that America is irredeemably racist, controlled by white supremacists. And people, the last thing anybody wants to be called is a racist. And then once they get you afraid of being a racist and committed to being an anti-racist, then they sell you all this other stuff, from LGBTQ to being pro-Palestine, being pro-Hamas, being anti-Israel. They sell you feminism. They sell you climate change. It's all this stuff that's a part of this racism bundle and this brilliant marketing scheme that the left has come up with. And so being pro-Palestine, BLM has never hid that. If you go look at, there's a video of Patrice Cullors early on, I think in 2015, talking about being pro-Palestine and seeing Israel as South African apartheid. So this is just all a part of the packaging. And so when people look out at these college campuses and across the country in these major cities where everybody is protesting in support of Palestine and against Israel, this is all a part of a package that we've been sold, from LGBTQ to climate change to Israel is, you know, the worst thing on the planet. And, you know, they're oppressing the people of Palestine. It's all connected. So I'm not surprised.
The package deal. I love that. It's almost like a poor man's cable package deal that they're always advertising, right? Where you can get a bundle package and you can get your trans stuff, you can get your open border stuff, you can get your Palestine stuff. So, Jason, one thing I want to explore with you is that I've been waiting, eagerly waiting, to see whether or not Black America is going to start pushing back against white liberal colonialism, basically. Because this is kind of like the choice items of upper middle class, academic, white culture, and they're using Black America as a way to try to advance their political agenda. I'm starting to see it happen a little bit, but I think this is a breaking point that eventually will occur where the rank and file of the Black community wake up and realize that they're used as pawns for ideas that are actually against their own.
I'm not as optimistic, and okay. I do see little signs of people waking up. But this whole narrative about racism is so central to the identity of many Black people that, again, there's nothing we won't accept as part of the again, it's like for sports fans, I'm an ESPN person. I need ESPN. And so I'll take everything else that comes in the cable bundle to keep my ESPN. And this racism narrative with us is idolatry. And you know, we've got this racial idolatry problem that allows all these other things that go against our values to glom on to the racial deal. And so I think with Black women, they've used the racial narrative to advance in corporate America. And they're not going, because in order to fully wake up, you're going to have to reckon with, like, hey, this narrative we have about racism being the number one problem and destroying all of our lives and so pervasive, you got to give that up in order to
see the
fraudulence of these other things. And I'm just not sure if the Black woman's going to do that. And so many Black men are fearful of losing their relationship or access to Black women that we go along with that victim narrative to keep peace in the home and to keep peace in our relationships. And so it's very difficult, but some people are waking up. It's one of the reasons why I spend so much time talking about a biblical worldview and Christianity, trying to explain to people, like, hey, this is a spiritual war. And you don't understand how your racial idolatry is walking you away from your biblical values. This racism bundle is why you have to be in support of the LGBTQ. It's why you have to believe in climate change. It's why you have to believe in feminism. And so I'm trying to explain to Black men, it's like that racial narrative is why you think your woman should be your leader. Because feminism comes along with the racial bundle. And it's tough, man. And it takes a set, it takes a pair to stand up against all that. And so I do think there are some people waking up, but.
Well, I love your honest cynicism, because it's probably true. I'm trying to find some optimism here, but I think you're onto something, though.
Let me say one other thing as it relates to, because this is an issue white guys don't have to deal with. But in order to stand on your biblical values in a real way, now you can go to church and on Sunday and then throw out all your biblical values. Mm-hmm. But in order to stand on them 7 days a week, you're going to disrupt your social life. You're going to lose a lot of friends, and you're not going to get invited to all the things you used to be invited to. That's a price Black men, heterosexual Black men, have to pay that white guys don't, that you can keep a lot of your social circle. You don't get thrown out of the white race for being an evangelical conservative.
No, that's right. No, in fact, it's actually supported in like WASPy circles. Yeah. You know, you sit around in a WASP country club and you talk about how insane, you know, the trans thing is, until recently when, you know, some of the neurotic women get involved. But I mean, just for example, you know, in WASP culture, right, white Anglo-Saxon Protestant culture, you're not talking openly about infidelity. and you're not necessarily talking about, you know, I don't know, like the most radical trans stuff. Where did that come from, where you're considered a race traitor if you actually believe in the Bible?
It comes from academia, the education system, and it comes from the Great Society movement and making the government an idol and making the government your God. And so there's a lot of people that say they're Christians, but their actions say that government is their actual God and that they took the deal that LBJ and the Democrat Party offered them in the 1960s of a government check and government support rather than a man in your home leading your household. People took that deal and were suffering the consequences of that for the last 60, 70 years.
Jason Whitlock, host of Fearless, one of my favorite people on social media, because he just tells the truth. He doesn't care what people say. It's such a rarity in today's time. Hey, everybody, Charlie Kirk here. Aren't you tired of not making a difference? You can. We can make a difference standing for life by giving free ultrasounds with our friends at Preborn. In a Dobbs world, states decide about abortion, and so many liberal states are taking extreme stands, even allowing abortion up to literally the second before a baby is born. It's unbelievable, but true. And in California, the demand for abortions has increased 400% in part because the state is inviting women and girls to come to California for the sole purpose of aborting their baby. This is abortion trafficking. Take a stand for life by providing an ultrasound for a young woman. When you do, she is twice as likely to choose life. I'm a donor, and you should be too, to Preborn. Just $28 provides that ultrasound and saves one baby. $140 saves five. A gift of $15,000 provides an ultrasound machine that can save thousands of babies for years to come. Call 833-850-2229 or click on the Preborn banner at charliekirk.com. That is charliekirk.com, and click on the Preborn banner.
Jason, over the last week and a half, we predicted this last week, the level of intensity and language and what you could call roughly the conservative movement has reached a fever pitch on social media. It started with, you know, rather agreement, terrible what happened in Israel. And as some people started to ask questions or have differences how to respond, all of a sudden the term anti-Semite, Jew hater, has been thrown out like a frisbee, quite honestly, including myself, which is hilarious. Jason, how should we think about this? Because we're seeing, and Semaphore wrote an article about this, basically a heated division in the conservative movement, rather unnecessarily, over Israel, a foreign country. Where does this come from, and why has it become so divisive?
Well, I mean, wow, that's, if you talk about Israel versus Palestine, that's a big, complicated topic. And now, when you add in the element, take someone like myself, who is hardcore America First. And so we look at the events, the tragedy that happened in Israel, and we're very sympathetic. We think it's outrageous. But we're so concerned about what's happening here in America, and we're so skeptical or cynical about like these foreign conflicts and how our emotions get used to involve us in events that lead to a 20-year war in the Middle East and all that. And so there have been some of us that are hardcore America First that are like, hey, let's pump the brakes before we just sign off on involving ourselves in a conflict, in the Middle East. And so I think that has made a lot of people that believe in supporting Israel at all costs uncomfortable. I think this is actually good. I think that we need to have this spirited discussion and debate and come to an agreement or work it out on what our reaction should be and how we should feel. There needs to be some disagreement among teammates so that we all reach a higher level of understanding and we're making rational, logical decisions rather than emotional decisions. Too many emotional decisions and buttons have been pushed that have provoked us to do things that don't actually work in America's self-interest. So that's one aspect of it. I think many people think a lot of this is political. And then there are those of us that think all of this is spiritual. This is a battle of good versus evil. And we need to have that argument and discussion as well. So I'm a little bit, I'm still trying to figure out where I actually come down and stand on all of this. I've had discussions on my show about, hey, you know, what does the Bible actually command us to do? Does it command us to support God's chosen people, Israeli Jews, or does it command us to support the nation, the state of Israel? I think that's two different things. I'm not a big proponent of governments. I'm not a big believer in government. And so I don't know how I feel about Benjamin Netanyahu and what the Israeli government is doing. I do know that I'm commanded by the Bible to support Jews and
yes, that's
the
right.
Israeli people. And so that's what I know for sure. I'm looking for clarity on how I should act as it relates to the nation, the state of Israel.
Yeah, and it says repeatedly in the scriptures, Paul says to bless the Jews, right? And there's not to mention the Old Testament in particular, but in the New Testament, it reaffirms that commitment to both the people and the nation of Israel. Does that also mean that you must also, you know, agree with everything that the government of Israel is doing? No, not necessarily. So Jason, plug your podcast right now, just where people can find it.
Fearless with Jason Whitlock, wherever podcasts are at. Love for you to go to Apple and subscribe. Love for you to go to our YouTube page, youtube.com/Jason Whitlock. Please join, become a subscriber.
Hey, everybody, Charlie Kirk here. Do you know that the average American spends about 20 years in retirement? That's a long time to live without a steady income. We want to make sure you enjoy every moment of it and don't outlive your money. Retirement is about more than just investments. It's about living your best life. Let's not retire, let's pivot. My friends at Pax Financial Group developed a course for the sole purpose of helping you pivot. If you want your own free guide of pivoting into the next chapter of life with purpose, visit paxfg.com/Charlie. That is paxfg.com/Charlie. I have some of my money managed by Pax Financial. They do a wonderful job. And remember, retirement is about more than just investments. The Charlie Kirk endorsement of the Pax Financial Group LLC was given for compensation, which creates an incentive to recommend Pax's advisory services. You need to make sure that disclaimer is very clear. So check it out, paxfg.com/Charlie.
So Jason, let me ask you a question. There's a debate also happening on the right where there's these lunatics at Harvard that come out and they have this statement in favor of, you know, Palestine, Hamas, or whatever. Should we blacklist those people? This is a debate that's happening on the right. Principally, from a biblical worldview, should we put a 20-year-old lunatic that says something stupid and evil and vile and put them on a list, basically a you shall never be forgiven list? How should we think about this, Jason?
Well, certainly not a you shall never be forgiven list. No, we should not. I do. Now, if someone wants to put out a list that says, hey, be very leery of this person if you're thinking about bringing them into your corporate or business setting. They may be a sleeper cell. but what I've said, and I've watched the debate between Candace Owens and Megyn Kelly, two people that I think are great and awesome and do a good job as leaders on our side of the movement. But I'm not for canceling anybody because there were so many stupid things I thought when I was in college. I mean, so many. And there were so many things I was involved in terms of, I had a subscription to Louis Farrakhan's newspaper, The Final Call. I went to Savior's Day events in Chicago in support of Louis Farrakhan. I used to get cassette tapes. You're younger than me, Charlie. I don't know if you've ever listened to a cassette tape, but in the 80s, that's what we listened to.
I've heard about it, you know, very similar to how I heard about the Roman aqueducts. I've heard about cassette tapes.
Yeah, so his speeches. And so that was part of my journey. Now, I was always a Christian, but that was something I dabbled in and found interesting. And now if you look at me, and this has been for the last 20, 25 years, now I've really honed into it here in the last 5 years, but the number one thing I'm against is racial idolatry. And the Nation of Islam is basically founded on racial idolatry. And I used to consume a lot of that content. And people thought of me as someone who had a great affinity and respect for Louis Farrakhan. Now, virtually everything that I stand for and promote directly contradicts the Nation of Islam. Really, the only thing I ever liked about the Nation of Islam is that it called on Black men to take responsibility for their families and their communities.
That's right. That's right.
That was my attraction. But so I just think young people need an opportunity to mature and grow and evolve. I will say what is different, and I thought Candace did a great job of pointing this out, is that these academic institutions, they're all brainwashing young people to believe these things. And so how can you blame them? Everybody has this dream of going to college, and you need to go to college to be successful. And then you go off to these institutions, and all the messaging, all the professors, all the, your tests, your exams, your projects are all based around supporting their far left worldview. And so should we be surprised that kids spend 4 or 5 years on these college campuses and then support every radical leftist movement possible? We support these schools. We send our kids to these schools knowing what they're doing. And so I'm just for giving these kids some grace. And again, should we be leery of them? Absolutely. Should we cancel them? No.
I have a provocative question here, Jason. I want you to dive into this because I think you said something really interesting, that Nation of Islam, obviously, I'm a Christian, so I have a different worldview. But something that they did talk about, they were actually largely pro-life. They were against all the gay agenda stuff. They did believe in a masculine type of figure. Do you think that Black America would have benefited more if they would have embraced more of a Nation of Islam value system, obviously, or a kind of secular trans value? It's a provocative question, right? Because you look at the damage, I mean, obviously that's what we do here is provocative questions. You look at the damage of what kind of secular Black feminism have done to the urban Black culture, right? 75% of Black babies are not raised with a present father figure around, right? Half of Black babies don't even know who their father is in certain cities. That's insane, right? So the damage is illiteracy, gang violence, criminality, right? All this sort of stuff. If Black America would have embraced more the value system of Malcolm X, would that have been better, or would that have just been another extreme? What do you think, Jason?
You've asked it a little differently at the end than you did at the beginning.
Well, then you can answer however you want because I'm just riffing. So,
was Malcolm X's vision better than Martin Luther King's vision? I think there's an argument that is accurate. That taking responsibility for yourself, not looking at the government as your solution, I think all of those things have great value as it relates to Malcolm X. Your original question kind of more involved the Nation of Islam. And where that takes me is about eternal salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not, you know, the Nation of Islam, there's quite a bit of fraudulence.
I'm a strong Christian. I'm just talking about value system and way of you.
Yep. And so, yes, and I'll give you a real life example from my own life. I had a cousin that I grew up with like a sister. She got involved in prostitution. She got involved in drug sales. She got involved in every negative activity you could think of, drug use, the whole nine. And joining the Nation of Islam completely remade her and made her a far better person and a more responsible person and just a better person overall. And I can remember arguing with people in my family who were hardcore Christians and totally uncomfortable with her being part of the Nation of Islam. And I was like, well, when she was a Christian, look at what she was involved in and look at what she's involved in now. And so do I think those values, if you embrace them, the self-responsibility, obedience to biblical values, obedience or submission to the patriarchy, I think all of those things have great value. And if you come through those values on the other side of that, I think, particularly if you're on a search for truth, you're going to return to Christianity, but now with a more firm belief in your values and a stronger commitment to commit to those values and not be willy-nilly about those values. And so I can listen to an argument that the Malcolm X way would have served Black people better than this political Christian mashup that we got from Martin Luther King. And that's not to denigrate Martin Luther King, but it is the reality that he made Christianity for Black people highly, highly political.
Yes.
And we basically throw out our biblical values to serve politics.
Well, and,
that's a mistake.
You know, two things can be simultaneously true. The most popular sentence that Martin Luther King said was great. It was a beautiful thing. It was basically a coupling off of neither slave nor Gentile or Jew. We are all one in Christ Jesus. I want people to be judged by their character, not by their skin color. But there's also a lot of Martin Luther King stuff was not so good. Like, not everything he said was necessarily worthy of idolatry or worship. I mean, Martin Luther King, who has kind of become a secular saint, it's the closest thing we have. I mean, they renamed the whole county of Seattle King County. I mean, and so it's a provocative thing to say, but it's necessary. How many streets, how many things? And I'm not even saying he's a bad person, but is it worthy of sanctification is the best word I could use for that. So Jason, let me just zero in on this, though. The federal government displaced Malcolm X and infiltrated the Nation of Islam. Why do you think that is? Do you think that strong Black families and, you know, having strong men, is there a conspiracy behind that, or is it just a happenstance of J. Edgar Hoover's regime?
Well, I mean, Satan is not a conspiracy. And so without attaching,
amen.
Without attaching J. Edgar Hoover or LBJ to that, but Satan uses people to accomplish his goals as well. And so what we saw in the 60s was all about what's playing out now, the patriarchy, male leadership. And again, let's go to the book of Genesis and the way God, the natural order that he prescribed for us. They're uprooting all of that. And so it's not just about, and we'll go back to the very beginning of this conversation about the racism bundle. It's not just about Black people. They're using the racism bundle to accomplish their real goal, to destroy male leadership, to destroy the patriarchy, to for us all to submit to this divine feminine energy. And again, what's playing out is the book of Genesis in real life in terms of women stealing control from men and the consequences of that. And that'll make me far, you know, really unpopular, and I'm good with that. But that is what's going on in America.
No, that's right. And you want to go a step further. It's the spirit of Jezebel that has infiltrated the entire country. That's not in Genesis. That's a little later with our boy Elijah. Check out Fearless with Jason Whitlock. Yeah, this conversation. Where else are you going to find two people saying, hey, why do we worship Martin Luther King again? Like, yeah, he said some good stuff, but is it worth the kind of untouchability, right? The infallibility of Martin Luther King is perplexing to me. And actually, honestly, it hasn't made Black America better. It hasn't. It's actually...
It hasn't made America better.
No, it hasn't. And I'm not saying he's a bad person. I'm not saying that he didn't say good things. I'm just wondering why he's up there with Moses. I'm really confused with that. Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. As you know, following this week's horrible events, Israel is at war. The people of Israel are under attack from brutal terrorists targeting innocent civilians, including women and children. There's over 1,000 casualties, as well as kidnapping and infiltration of southern Israeli towns. Israel is now retaliating and could escalate with a ground offensive against Hamas militants. The situation is critical, which is why I'm partnering with our friends at the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews to rush emergency relief to the hardest hit areas. Call the special phone number 800-492-5454 to make an emergency donation.
Again, that's 800-492-5454. Your emergency gift will help the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews save lives and provide critical essentials needed right now. During this dark time, the need in war-torn areas will be tremendous. The fellowship has extensive network of staff, partner organizations, and more. Immediately respond with life-saving security and support measures. We ask all people to pray for safety and protection. Call 800-235-887 as we rush urgent need right now to help Israel through the International Fellowship of Christian and Jews. All right, Jason, I don't know if this is public. Are you able to talk about the football thing that we're talking? If not, the...
Yeah, no.
Okay, cool.
Yes.
Because the first thing I texted back is I said, Jason, I'm all into, you know, the past, you know, making sure you do things in alignment. But the one indulgence, I admit it, my audience is ready to, you know, destroy me, is football. I love it. It's a beautiful sport. It's great. But you're telling me I could still watch football. It's just one day. Build this out. I think this is important. Let's try to get this out here.
Well, Charlie, we need to figure out unique ways to make our voices heard. Those of us, evangelical, Christians, conservatives. Because, you know, it's been illegalized for us to make our voices heard. We can't gather and protest. They'll send FBI infiltrators to paint us as white supremacists. They'll plant agitators to make sure that there's some sort of violence at the event. And then they'll run us through their court system, particularly if we went to D.C. They'd run us in front of, you know, an all-Democrat jury, and just like they're doing the January 6th people, throw us underneath jails. And so if we can't do that, how do we make our voices known? And I think the only thing that has really worked are these boycotts.
I agree with you.
Did some things with Bud Light and Target that were effective and sent out our message and made them come to heel and like, whoa, okay, if they're going to do this, they've escalated the price for some of this messaging and promotion of this satanic stuff that we like to do. And so it's made them back off. And so the Super Bowl is Christmas for corporate America. It's the biggest platform we have here in America to voice an opinion. They've been using the Super Bowl to promote all these secular values and all these satanic values. And they've been platforming every, you know, the NFL is gay commercial, and all the promotion of the matriarchy and all the promotion of Black Lives Matters. They're using football to promote their values and their agenda. I think we have an opportunity to use football in the same way by boycotting the Super Bowl. If somehow we had a counter event, and it could be just our shows and online, on the internet, and we somehow affect Super Bowl television ratings by 5 or 10 or 15%, that's a way of making people talk about our concerns and being very disruptive and sending a message to corporate America that we've had enough. I went to college on a football scholarship. I built my brand writing and talking about football. Football's important to me. And so I'm not asking anyone to give it up. I haven't been able to give it up. And I think the product is much weaker, but I'm asking those of us in this movement to consider organizing and rallying together. The only reason I'm slightly uncomfortable talking about this, and I'm really not, but I've questioned myself, am I the right person to lead this? Because, you know, I'm really polarizing.
No, you're not. You're unifying. I think you're great. Tell all those people to take a hike.
Well, I'm so honest. Let me be just transparent here. It's just like, am I the type of person that could get Ben Shapiro and the Daily Wire to support this idea? I'm not sure. And it's because I'm so outspoken and honest that I think I make Ben uncomfortable. I think I make Jeremy uncomfortable. I think they like me, but I think they're slightly uncomfortable. And you know, would they be good with partnering with me on something that I'm leading? And so I've kind of had those questions, is can I get all the right people on board with supporting this. Now, I have reached out to yourself.
Yep. Well, let's work together. I think we can do some stuff, because I think you're right that the Super Bowl is where their margins come. It's a huge deal for them, right? This is where they make bank for the rest of the year. And if their viewership takes a hit, especially from Red America, it makes an impact. Fearless with Jason Whitlock. Check out the podcast. Jason, thanks so much.
Thank you, Charlie.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.
The United States Constitution guarantees every American fundamental rights and protection of life, liberty, and property. Salem is celebrating our founding document with a special offer, a 1953 Oman U.S. Constitution lithograph. Understand the value of these lithographs is to know the story. A master lithographer, immigrant named Theodore Oman, came to this country to find the American dream. 70 years ago in 1953, Oman printed a limited number of these exceptional Constitution lithographs. Go to SalemEventStore.com to read Oman's entire story. America's most important document stands as a testament to all Americans to maintain their liberties, freedoms, and inalienable rights. Buy it and display it proudly. Buy a gift for your family and friends, for all the teachers in your communities. There's a limited number, so act today. Go to SalemEventStore.com to get your exclusive 1953 Oman U.S. Constitution lithograph. Buy it and display it proudly. While limited supplies last, there's a limited time, so act today. SalemEventStore.com, SalemEventStore.com.